I was born in Rockingham County at Montezuma, lived there all my life, still live there, and have hunted and fished throughout this area all the way to the top of the mountain here in Hone Quarry. When I was here in the fall of 78, I was hunting squirrels with a friend and had sat down by a tree on a small ridge to wait for a squirrel to show up, and a squirrel didn't, but these two cats did. Obviously a cougar, there's nothing else like them when you see them. People talk about long-tailed dogs and big bobcats and stuff, but there is no way.
I'm Brent Finnegan.
And I'm Andrew Jenner. Thank you for listening to this special production of WMRA. Today, Brent and I are talking about mountain lions in Virginia.
You know, I've lived in Virginia most of my life, but I grew up in Mission Viejo, California. And at that time, it was right on the very edge of the Orange County sprawl. So behind our house were all these wild rolling hills. And it was like this dangerous no man's land full of coyotes, rattlesnakes, and mountain lions.
There's just something cool about big cats. I've also spent most of my life in Virginia, but I grew up in East Africa where there were a number of cool big cats. My favorite was a leopard, and I was actually fortunate enough to see one a few times, and I'll just never forget it. Each time burned into my memory. But never seen a mountain lion, have you?
No. In California, we just heard a lot about them, and sometimes they would wander into the neighborhood. And even though I've done a fair amount of hiking in Virginia, I've seen a few black bears, but I've never seen a mountain lion.
Yeah, me neither. But we found a guy named Larry Carpenter who has seen one. Earlier this year, he took us to Hone Quarry west of Harrisonburg to the very spot where he saw it.
It's probably very close to where I was. Well, I was up a holler. Uh-huh. If I was like sitting against that tree, the cats weren't any further than that bank over there.
We were on one side of a steep ravine, so when he says bank over there, we're pretty close.
Yeah, it's not just, I saw some tail disappearing to a cornfield.
No, they were close, and he got a great look at two of them, a mother and a cub, and he was looking through the scope of his rifle.
You read articles about sightings or possible sightings, or I saw a big animal cross the road. It jumped, you know, just a flash here and there, and you know, to see not only one, but two, and then have them standing perfectly still when I observed them and then move on. It was definitely a privilege.
This is Bill McShay. I work for the Smithsonian Institution. I'm a wildlife ecologist. I'm based in Front Royal, Virginia, at the Conservation Biology Institute there.
How many mountain lions have you seen in Virginia?
None. I wish, but I haven't seen any.
So he's just never been as lucky as Larry.
Not only haven't I seen any with my eyes, but I run a very extensive camera trapping program for the state and for the whole region, where we now have, in the last 5 years, maybe 3 million images of wildlife from all the protected areas in the region, and there's no mountain lion pictures anywhere among the 3 million.
Yeah, with 3 million images, you would think that they would at least have like a picture of a tail or a blurry cat or something.
Well, that's kind of the crazy thing. As it turns out, the official expert opinion is that mountain lions don't exist here. They don't exist anywhere close to here.
Yeah, but I went to high school in Rockingham County, and there were several kids in my school that saw mountain lions.
But are you sure they didn't just think that they saw one?
Once or twice, maybe a week, maybe that often, we get a call or a report or something that somebody is just sure they've seen a mountain lion.
That's David Kochka. He's been the local district biologist with the Virginia Department of Game and Inland Fisheries for the past 25 years.
In 2011, he and Bill from the Smithsonian published an article in Virginia Wildlife magazine laying out a pretty clear case against mountain lions being here. and I quote, "The bottom line, the Department of Game and Inland Fisheries and the National Geographic Society do not believe that mountain lions exist in the Commonwealth."
Yeah, but didn't he just say that they get like 2 reports a week? Does he just tell everyone that they're wrong or that they're lying?
I don't tell people they're liars. I just try to analyze what they think they may have or what they have seen and try to figure out what it may have been and put it in perspective of, you know, you got a glimpse of something in a nanosecond and now you're trying to process what it is. They know they saw something, but then their mind and or their personality, whatever, wants to say, "I saw a big cat."
Okay, so I get that not every unexplained wild animal is a mountain lion, but Larry didn't just get a glimpse. He got a great view through his rifle scope of what he's certain was a mountain lion. I mean, these are real animals. We're not talking about, like, Bigfoot. These animals exist in North America.
Yeah, but out west. According to the biologists, now there's mountain lions in every continental state west of the Mississippi, plus Illinois, Wisconsin, and Michigan. And there's a few panthers, which is just a different word for the same animal, stuck down in the Everglades. But that's it, not the rest of the East.
Well, there are stories about mountain lions in Virginia dating all the way back to the earliest colonial settlements.
Back then, people were afraid of them and they shot them whenever they could. And you know how the story goes. Soon there weren't as many, and then there were none. According to some sources, the last wild mountain lion in Virginia was shot in 1882 down in Washington County. And by the early 20th century, scientists had pretty much declared mountain lions extinct throughout the East.
Except for that population that's hung on in the Everglades.
Point taken.
And people like Larry have been reporting them all over the East for decades.
Which is kind of where things get interesting, because hardly any of those reports have been substantiated by experts, whatever that means. And with the few exceptions that have, there's always some sort of weird explanation.
I would not say that there aren't any here, but there sure couldn't be many.
So you're saying there's a chance.
There's a chance. So this is Chris Bolgiano, who wrote the book on mountain lions. Literally, it's called The Eastern Cougar, and she happens to live in Folks Run. She has a really interesting perspective on all this because she's a nature writer who really understands science, and she's also spent more than 20 years chasing down mountain lion reports here.
I am skeptical. I mean, I've read an awful lot of scientific papers, and I think skepticism is the bottom line. Mm-hmm. But I can be convinced. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I'm not closed-minded. I do think there are a few out there at any given time. I think there are a few cougars in the Appalachian Mountains. Whether they're native eastern cougars, whether they're feral escaped, or whether they have moved in from the western states, which is possible, I don't know.
Okay, so something to get straight here is that not all mountain lions are created equal. Some are kept in captivity, and a few of those escape or get let go out in the woods somewhere.
Right, and then when someone sees it out in the woods, you have an actual real-life sighting of a real-life mountain lion somewhere like Virginia, where the science is quite clear that you shouldn't be seeing a mountain lion here.
Yeah, there's that one that went on a walk, a very long walk a few years ago, and somehow wandered in from the west.
That was a cool story. It was a young male that scientists tracked from South Dakota as it went out looking for a mate, and they followed it through Minnesota and then Wisconsin, and it just kept going and going all the way to New England. And I would do anything for love.
I'd run right into hell and back. Until a Hyundai went zooming down the road in Connecticut and bam.
Bam. End of journey. It's like the mountain lion version of Oregon Trail. You have died of Hyundai.
But seriously, this was a fact. There's evidence and proof. There was a wild mountain lion in Connecticut. Why couldn't there be wild mountain lions in Virginia?
Maybe it's like people on the moon. Like, way out of place and only there for a very little bit. It's just a total anomaly, and it's not the same thing at all as actually living there.
There was a kitten killed on the road in Kentucky, a cougar kitten, in 1997. a game department person came and collected it. Mm-hmm. They did DNA testing on it. The mother's genes had South American genes, which almost certainly means that there was a captive cougar in there somewhere. However, the father's genes were North American and could have been wild. So, what do we have?
That's a mystery.
Weird. So even the line between wild and escaped can get blurry.
And to be fair, Smithsonian Bill and the other scientists do acknowledge these very rare, random occurrences. But as biologists, their main concern is really with populations of mountain lions.
I'm not going to say there's never been a mountain lion in the last 10 years. There are. It's impossible for someone to see a mountain lion. Even 3 million images is not really a lot when you look at the amount of forest that we have in this region. So could there be something out there? Yes. From my point of view, what I would say is there's no hidden population of mountain lions. There's no valley full of mountain lions living a happy life. From as an ecological agent, as a part of the ecosystem, I'm pretty confident mountain lions don't play a part in the functioning of this region.
So it's easy to get hung up on all the little bits and scraps of evidence that mountain lions might be here. But there's a flip side. There's a lot of really strong evidence that they're not here. Here's David Kochka again.
We have a bowhunter survey that is conducted every year and has been for 15 years or so now in the state of Virginia, like other states. Bowhunters spend a tremendous amount of time in tree stands. We survey these people, and they keep records of, you know, various species that they see, and we track those things. Nobody has ever seen a big cat. We have thousands upon thousands of dog hunters in this state that use dogs, whether they're hunting raccoons or black bears or foxes or coyotes or whatever, and none of those people tree a mountain lion.
Man, he sounds exasperated. You get the sense that all this mountain lion stuff gets a little old for the biologists.
Yeah. It's like, how many times do I have to tell you guys? I mean, listen to what they do have to put up with.
We've had calls where people say, well, I just drove on this interstate or whatever in Virginia, and I just saw one, and it's dead at mile mark or whatever. And, you know, and in those situations where we've had somebody near enough that they can go look at it, you know, it has turned out to be, you know, a dog, and not even a tan dog. It might be a totally different colored type of dog. One instance, it was a gray fox. We called the guy back, told him it was a gray fox. And he's like, well, I don't know, but somebody must have moved the mountain lion and put a gray fox there, because there was a mountain lion this morning when I passed it.
Can you imagine that? It's like, hey, I'm going to take this gray fox that I have, and I'm just going to swap it out for that rotting mountain lion.
There's that whole substantiated by experts thing that can get a little touchy. Like, what makes him an expert and not somebody who's been living in the mountains their whole life?
But that's how our culture is now, right? Like, look at climate denying or vaccine refusing or whatever. It's almost like being an expert diminishes your credibility for some people.
Yeah, I don't know. I think this is different. This mountain lion thing is more personal than that. I mean, when you see something and you know what you saw, but you don't have the credentials or the degree or whatever that makes you an expert, and then you get told, well, you must have been imagining things, or straight up, like, you're a liar.
Yeah, I mean, okay, who wants to be called a liar, like, either directly or by implication? I guess maybe you or I would feel differently if we saw something and we knew what we saw.
Yeah, what is it about mountain lions, you know? There are all kinds of rare birds and salamanders and things all over the East Coast, but people aren't calling in reporting those twice a week. It seems like mountain lions have this special allure.
The cougar is a big, strong, threatening animal that can kill you, and very rarely does kill people. The idea that there could be this animal out there that might be following you and you'd never know it, you'd never see it, you'd never suspect it was there, you know, that just gets people.
Ooh, keep your head on a swivel, folks. So that was Chris again. And of course, the biologists like Smithsonian Bill, who are on the front lines of this debate, also know how worked up people get about mountain lions.
I'm a professional wildlife ecologist, and I publish professional papers for 30 years now, and I have 150 publications probably out there on all sorts of wildlife issues. Nothing has generated nearly as much response as that one article on there being no mountain lions in the state of Virginia. For once, I realized that people are actually reading what I'm writing, because everybody wrote back. I got so many calls and letters saying, you're crazy. I've seen them. I have pictures of one. My dog was attacked by one.
People want to think that they've seen a cougar, partly because I think it makes them special. It's something that's so rare and so elusive that for them to have seen it kind of elevates them. It's like, boy, they chose me, you know? I have talked to some people that were sure they saw a cougar, and they've called it the supreme emotional moment in their lives to see a cougar.
Most people would rank it in one of the top five experiences of, you know, they tell you about their wedding, they tell you about the birth of their kids, and they tell you about their mountain lion sighting. And I don't know what to do with that. I can say, geez, I wish you'd had a camera, or I wish that animal had stayed around for a while or left a track or some feces. Or most of these sightings, we cannot do anything more than say, wow.
Come on, cougars, just a little feces. Just give us a sign.
Yeah, it's like, are you there, cougar? It's me, Andrew. All right, seriously now, seriously. This is weird. It's like there's a million stories of people seeing them, and some are pretty believable.
Like Larry's. That guy spent his whole life outside, and he's not going to mistake a bobcat for a mountain lion. And there's no doubt in his mind that he saw one. And then there are these random 100% confirmed cases, like the cub that was killed on the road in Kentucky, or the one that had the run-in with the Hyundai.
But then there's just so much really strong evidence that the biologists have to say that they're just not here. Or when they are, it's such an incredibly rare and unusual thing that it can just be explained away, and we might as well just say they're not here. It sort of starts to mess with the definition of exist, doesn't it? It's like, I think of that as a black or white thing. Like, does God exist? Yes or no? Or does the Loch Ness Monster exist? Yes or no? Or will you go out with me? Yes or no?
No. But this, I don't know, this is different. We've established that mountain lions definitely do exist.
But not right here in Virginia, though.
Well, most likely not native cougars anyway. But like Chris was saying, there might be some escapees or strays from the West.
I'm just hung up on the fact that the story essentially seems to be there are certainly no mountain lions here, except for when there certainly are. This is just muddled.
What if there's a way that they're both right?
What do you mean, though? That's a thing. If something is or isn't.
Have you ever heard of Schrödinger's cat?
Nope.
It's this thought experiment where there's this house cat in a box with a bunch of stuff that might kill it, and you can't see inside the box, and like after an hour, it's alive. It's alive and dead or something.
What does it have in there? Guns? Cigarettes?
No, I think it's some vial of poison or something.
Well, what does that have to do with mountain lions, though?
I don't know. I'm probably not explaining it right. Let me get out my phone.
Good old Wikipedia on the smartphone.
Okay. All right. Here we go. The scenario presents a cat which may be simultaneously both alive and dead, a state known as a quantum superposition as a result of being linked to a random subatomic event that may or may not occur.
Zombie cat.
No, that would be undead. What I'm saying is the cat would be dead and alive at the same time.
I don't know.
Mountain lions could exist in Virginia and not exist in Virginia at the same time.
Alive and dead at the same time?
All of these states, both the cat being alive and the cat being dead, are superimposed on each other.
Christian Early was my philosophy professor at Eastern Mennonite University, and he's the kind of guy that I remember just really bending my mind.
we have to count with multiple states of affairs, multiple possible realities, and we can't rule any of them out, strictly speaking, and so we have to superimpose them onto each other. And you just can't escape the possibility that the world, in all of its superimposed realities, may be much, much wilder than we can deal with. It's a little bit like a Far Side comic when people are driving in a car and they're watching a field of cows. And when no one's watching the field of cows, they're talking to each other. But when the humans are driving by, they're just saying moo. But then when they're past, they go back to talking about what happened last week or why Bob owes Jerry $2 or whatever it is. And it's just ineliminable. You cannot rule out the possibility that the world that we see is much tamer than the world that there really is. And that's the bothersome thing about Schrödinger's cat. He wanted to show that multiple realities were really absurd, but what he managed to do instead was to insert in everyone this uneasiness that possibly the world is actually much more strange than we know.
The guy from the Smithsonian told me, you know, he laughs about there's no Happy Valley of mountain lions. You're saying what Schrödinger's cat could suggest or tell us about this observation is that his Happy Valley that doesn't exist maybe does exist, but when he goes to observe it, it's not there.
There's always the possibility that when you go to the Happy Valley and you try to see these, that they disappear from view. And so you make the mistake of saying categorically it doesn't exist, but when you turn around, it pops back into existence. You just can't eliminate the theoretical possibility that the world is way stranger than your theories allow.
Okay, that got weird.
Yeah, you weren't kidding when you said he bends people's minds.
Well, where do you think all this leaves us?
I wonder what would happen if Bill or David ever saw a mountain lion. What if the scientist became a believer, like Dana Scully from The X-Files?
Or like Saul on the road to Damascus.
Yeah.
Well, we asked them about that at the end of our interviews.
I'd probably call myself crazy. No, I, you know, the professional in me would say, okay, stop, get out. If it's raining, whatever, if the soil is soft, look for tracks, you know, see what it was that crossed the road that I got a very short glimpse of, you know, and try to start from that angle.
And Bill has promised to rewrite that infamous Virginia Wildlife article if a mountain lion ever wanders around the corner into his life.
Yes, I'll write one. I'll say, I eat my hat. I mean, let's hope it happens.
You know, as it turns out, there is a biologist who became a believer.
Yeah. Remember Larry from the beginning of our story?
I majored in biology at Bridgewater College, and I graduated there in 71, and then went to work for the Virginia Department of Environmental Quality and got my 30 years in there, working outside with water in the environment, doing environmental spill cleanup work. And then, so I'm familiar with the outdoors. My father was the regional game biologist for this area for his career with the Game Commission. So I had a lot of experience with seeing animals, and then, of course, we hunted whenever it was possible as youth. And I've got two brothers. We all went out and followed Dad around and learned about the birds and wildlife. And so there's no doubt in my mind what I saw. I was definitely surprised, because my understanding was that the eastern cougar was extinct and that any animals that were reported here, and there were reports even back then, was either an introduced animal from the West or a southern cat like from Florida that had moved in or was transported in and released. And when I saw these, you know, I was totally surprised. And they say the only way to tell the difference between an introduced cat and one from an eastern cougar is to measure skulls.
You know, I keep thinking back to that image of Larry watching the mountain lions through the scope of his rifle.
Yeah, and I realize that this is going to sound awful, but there's a part of me that kind of wishes that he had shot one of them, just so there could be proof.
You know, it's funny, if he'd done that, he could have proven that they existed, but then in a way they wouldn't have existed anymore, right?
Instead, he just watched them wander off to who knows where.
You know, there's always the thought of, well, you know, shoot one and have a definite specimen. But in 71, the Game Commission passed a law that said it was illegal to hunt them, shoot them, chase them, trap them in any manner. So I knew it was illegal. I wasn't going to break the law. But it would have been...
Were you tempted?
Oh, yes. Just to have that specimen, to have that proof that there were cats in the eastern United States.
The original music you heard in this program was composed and performed by Mike Hudson.
We'd like to thank Bob Levicky and WMRA for supporting this production.
We'd like to thank everyone we interviewed for this story.
And thanks to all of you for listening.